See how
there you go.
We are turning that on just in case tonight I say something that, you know, is profound. Good evening, you wonderful people.
Good evening.
Once again, I have great news for you. This thing that we call God, this thing we call the universe, would be incomplete without you. Each and every one of us is needed. You are not only needed, you matter. You matter to the universe. You matter to this thing that we call God. So please, try to remember that, especially when you think that you don't. The world will not tell you that you matter. The world will not tell you that you are needed. But the universe will tell you that. And the universe and this thing called God, and here again, when I use universe and God, they are the one in the same. There's not a universe and there's not God. There's God as the universe. It's always God as something, because there's only one power going on. But it needs you, and it would be incomplete without you. So you matter a great deal to the universe. If you want to visualize that for yourself, think of it. If you were not here, this universe would not be the same. It just would not be the same. It would be like missing a star. It would be like missing a star. So here again, you can tell yourselves that you are stars. And you can also realize that you are fashioned from the same stuff as the stars. There's no other stuff to be fashioned by. So you truly, truly matter. With that said, I will do a spiritual mind treatment. And here again, when we use the word spiritual mind treatment, we are affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. We are also looking at this treatment as an entity unto itself, that there is a power in the treatment. And we do the treatment, and it enters what we call the law of cause and effect. And once it enters, it completes itself. Remember the idea, if you put an envelope in the mailbox, it gets to where it is going. Think of it that way, or any way that makes it easy. I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I am absolutely delighted to be alive. I am absolutely delighted to be able to use this mind, this wonderful gift that I have been given. And I use this mind correctly. I think the right thoughts. I always think the right thoughts. Because I know that my mind is connected to the only mind there is, the mind of God. And I use that mind right here and right now to not only affirm and know that this world, this universe, is completely abundant, completely prosperous. I also see that. I see prosperity and abundance everywhere. So I use that knowledge to draw that abundance and that prosperity into my life, along with large sums of money. And I allow that to be so, and so it is. All right, this month we were doing the four chapters. They're not really the chapters, it's just the introduction to the science of mind. We talked at the beginning of the month about the thing itself. The thing itself, we call it the thing itself because that's what it is. No one knows exactly what God is. People who say they know what God is, please run the other way from them. We do not know. We know parts of God. And we know that we can use this power, this energy, this life. And what we try to believe is that this life of God is our life. Because there can be only one life. There could only be unity in the universe. And this unity, this energy, this life, this intelligence, spreads out over the whole universe. In unity, they say, that church unity, I guess that is. In unity, they say, there is not a spot where God is not. And I think that's a wonderful thing to try to remember. There's not a spot where God is not. There cannot be. So we use that. And we think of that. When we're doing a treatment, when we're living our lives, when we're trying to demonstrate something, when we're trying to manifest anything, we have to realize that this thing that we call God is everywhere. It is the stuff itself. It is the thing. It is the life force behind everything. Everything. This thing that we call God is a creator, and it creates. And then it moves on to create again. But it always boils down to that the creator and the creation are one in the same thing. Are one in the same thing. We are connected to this. We are connected to God. That is why God needs us. And that is why we matter. So we use that idea that God is present right here and right now and in everything and in every human being. God is in a stone. When you see a stone, most people think, oh, well, that's just a stone. That happens to be God acting as a stone. But we have the tendency to think if it doesn't move, breathe, or wave its limbs around or something, it can't be God. Everything is God. And when you are able to believe that, your whole life will change. So we start with that premise, that this thing that we call God is in every corner of the universe and is everywhere, and that we are connected to that power. And if we are connected to that power, we have to be able to use that power. I used the other week the idea of the sun. When the ancient Egyptians worshipped Ra, the sun, which was a very brilliant idea, if you ask me, because you can feel the sun. And there's nothing on this planet that the sun is not in. There's nothing. When we eat something, we're eating the energy from the sun. Everything is touched by the sun, and the sun remains in it. The same way everything is touched by God, and God remains in it. What the ancients didn't do, the ancient Egyptians, they looked at, which we do, by the way, all the time. They looked at the sun, and they said, oh, look how powerful, look what it does, and they could understand all that. So they said, this is the cause. Everything, you see. But it's secondary causation. The sun is secondary causation. You see, God is behind that. And that's what we don't do in life. We always seem to stop at secondary causation. This is causing it. That is causing it. I'm sick because of this, this, and this. All that is secondary causation. So you always have to go one step back. And you go one step back to the thing itself, to God itself. And what do we know about this God? We know that God is complete perfection, that God is absolutely perfect, and that anything God creates is perfect. Therefore, we make the statement, perfect God, perfect man. You have to realize that you are perfect in every way. It can be no other way. Something that's perfect cannot produce something that is not perfect. So it's an energy, it's a life, it's an intelligence that we live, move, and have our being in. We call it new thought, even though it has been around long before Christianity. There was an emperor in Rome, and his name was Marcus Aurelius. The date slips my mind. We won't worry. Marcus Aurelius wrote many papers on this idea of this life force. He called it the fire, the flame within. And he knew it then. And he knew how to use it. So this is not a new idea, people. It's an old idea. And we think we just now have discovered it. But it's been here. The problem with it is, it is not taught in schools or colleges or any educational institution. Metaphysics is ignored by those because they think that it is not scientific. But it is scientific because you can prove it, and you can prove it to yourselves, and you prove it every time you're able to find a parking spot for yourself. You find it every time you say to yourself, it is too important right now, my life is too important right now, to come down with a cold. And you can stop a cold. How many people have stopped a cold because they wanted to go someplace, they wanted to do something? Yes, there is the power. There is the power that you have. So that is the thing itself. So we want to look at it as a life, as an energy, as an intelligence. But we want to also look at it that that life, that intelligence, that mind, that energy is in us, is through us, and that we are actually living, moving, and having our being in this mind, in this life, in this intelligence. Remember my little saying, God is not in you, like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. You are in God, like a wave in the ocean. And then we discussed the way it works. Now, how does this thing work? This energy, this thing that we call God, it works through us. It's the only way that it can work. People are always looking outside of themselves to find God or to find the answer. If you go within and you know that your mind, that your energy in your life is that of the thing itself or God, then you can use that to manifest anything that you want in your life. Because you have to realize that we're talking about an infinite mind. We're talking about something that's beyond thoughts and words. It's absolutely beyond thoughts and words. Stop trying to figure out God. Just accept that as a fact. And accept the law of cause and effect as a fact in life, the way you accept gravity. No one argues about gravity. It's been around, how many years was it around? And then all of a sudden, we give Newton credit for discovering it. You know. The same principles that we're working with now, the same things that exist now, existed when Moses walked the earth. The aerodynamics of all of that existed then. But no one discovered them. No one was using them. But they were available. They were available. Because everything is available in the mind of God. all possibilities. Many people think or use the term, we live in a field of pure possibility. A field of pure possibility. And I think that's done in the new quantum physics, the idea of quantum physics. And that we are able to influence that field. And that's what we do with this thing called mind, our mind. We influence our lives with that. And we let that power come through us. But we're the ones who got it. See, we open up ourselves as an avenue for the life, for the energy, and for the intelligence to flow through us. That's our job, to open up the avenue. People say, nothing ever happens to me. Well, no, nothing ever happens to them because they have never opened themselves to that. The whole idea is to open yourself to accepting and to receptivity. You see, I can give treatments to people. People ask me to give treatments. It doesn't do them a bit of good for me to do a treatment if they don't open themselves to it. Because it won't work unless you open yourself to it. So you can read all the books, you can come here, you can study this, you can study that. But the main thing is to open yourself to this belief. To open yourself to this belief. This teaching boils down to the idea that it is always done unto you as you believe, not as I believe. A woman that I hadn't seen for the longest time called me the other day to tell me that she's still using God bless and multiply this money quickly on her checks. But she said, you know, Dallas, I added very to it, so I put a V in there. She went very quickly. And she said, ever since I've done that, Dallas, money is just rolling in. I said, good for you. So you can change it. And when she changed that, she was able to believe in it. And as soon as she was able to believe in it, that belief has to come back to you. It just has to. How many people here are familiar with that old saying, what goes round comes round? No one has a problem with that whatsoever. What do you think that is, what goes round comes round? It's the law of cause and effect. But yet when you talk about it in other terms besides the negative thing, you know, we say, oh no, it doesn't exist. Yeah. It doesn't exist. If I say the law of cause and effect, everyone says, oh, I don't think it's the law of cause and effect. But if I say what goes round comes round, oh yes, oh yes, I believe that one. It's the same thing, people. It's the same thing. Look, you're laughing, but isn't it true? Isn't it true? You believe in that one, but you won't believe in the other one. It's the same thing. See, the whole idea in life is you can believe anything you want. You can believe anything you want. So why not believe in accord with what you want? See, with what you want. You want to be millionaires. You want to have lots of money. But where is your belief? Your belief is in lack of limitation. And you can prove lack of limitation, everything. Well, Dallas, look at that. Those poor people over there. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. You can be sympathetic. You can be all that. If you start doing all that, what are you doing? That's the idea of the blind meeting the blind. You can't help that person. The only way you can help anybody is to build yourself up, people. The only way you can help anyone is to build yourself up. And then people want to say, well, how did you do that? And then you tell them, they say, I don't believe it. This is a very simple teaching. We just keep trying to make it complicated because we want everyone to think that we're smart. that we're intelligent. You see? Frankly, I don't care if people think I'm intelligent or not. When I have a problem, I tell my mind to solve it. But when I tell my mind to solve it, I know my mind is going to connect itself with the infinite mind of God, where all possibilities reside, and I am going to get the answer. I am going to get the answer. If anyone here is trying to demonstrate something, is trying to manifest something, and it's not coming, do not give up. Demand it. Demand it. Remember, you can stamp your foot. I want it now, damn it. You have to do that. You have to know that it will answer you. If it's not answering you, it's not answering you because you have some doubt in your mind. You have some doubt in your mind. You say to yourself, I'd love to believe that. Oh, it sounds so good. It sounds so terrific. But I don't know if I can. You don't know if you can. Know that you can. Go back to the basics. Go back to the premise. What is the premise? All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Therefore, I must be able to create. And I am going to create what I want. Every time you create what you want, you prove that God exists. That's how you prove God. That's how you demonstrate God. You don't demonstrate God by reading all this hoorah about it all the time or listening to most of the twaddle that's going on out there about God and religion and all. You don't do it that way. You do it by getting the car you want, the house you want, the man you want, the wife you want, the children you want, the education you want. That's how you prove that God exists. That's how you prove that it works through you. That it works through you. We are so conditioned to believe that God lives someplace else. That God lives someplace else. God lives right here, right now. Right here, right now. When I was a minister in Tennessee, they asked me if I would do a radio program. I'd have loved it. But the man, the owner of the company or whatever he was, the manager, said to me, but we have to ask you a question, Dallas. And I said, well, go ahead. I go for that. Do you believe in heaven? I said, I most certainly do. But do you believe? But do you mean as a geographical location? And he said, yes. I said, no. He said, you can't be on the radio. We can't have that kind of talk going on the radio. What would people do? What would people think? Not to have a God someplace else. Not to have a place to go, heaven. Not to have a place to go. People. There's no place to go. Where are you going to go? There's only the now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go? You know, everyone's planning this trip. I love it. They're planning this trip. Either they're going there or they're going there. You know? I have news for them. You're not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to go anywhere. You know? Don't get in the travel business. Don't do it. You have to think of those things. You have to think how it works. So we have the thing itself. And how it works is through you. Through your mind. Last week I started with the wonderful news that the gift had already been given. That's the gift of mind. And what is the gift of mind? We don't have our friend here to tell us tonight. Come in. We'll get you a chair if you need. I think they're in that closet. I can't go in there. I came out years ago.
Thank God.
Now, where was I?
The gift was
imagination. Thank you. The gift has already been given. It's your imagination. So you have to use your mind and your imagination to build up your belief system. To build up your belief system. And you make it simple. You make that simple. You see? That's why I told you about the sun. If you can feel the sun beating down and coming through your body on a hot day, just know that that's the life, that's the energy, that's gone. And that you're one with that. Simple. Don't make it complicated. Now, what is the next reason people do not demonstrate? Not only because they're not open and receptive to receiving, they do not believe that they are worthy to receive. They do not believe that they deserve to receive, and they do not believe that they're totally lovable. Totally lovable. Those are the three items that you need in your life. How many people here are still doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me? Thank you. You're doing it now? No, see, she laughs every time. She can't do it. You have to be able to do it without laughing. You have to convince yourself that that is true, because it is the truth of your being. You see, you cannot say that the universe needs you, that you matter to the universe, and then not know that you're not wonderful. Not know that you're not wonderful. You have to know that you're wonderful. And you people are. And then we did what it does. What does this power do, this energy, this life, and so forth? Well, we know what God does. God makes all things new. And by using this and using your mind, bringing that life through you, which is already there, but you visualize that coming, and you visualize that coming through you. And then you change your life. You make all things new with it. If you have no money at the present moment, you start to say, I live in an abundant universe. I live in a prosperous universe. I see that all around me. I see everybody having money. I'm absolutely delighted that Oprah just made $55 million mm-hmm. for a 3-year contract to do a radio program. I don't say, oh, she doesn't need that. I'm delighted because it's money. And then we see the money. And then we say, I am open and receptive to every channel in the universe to bring me money. I think the new term is streams. Streams, is it? Streams of money, they call it.
Streams of money. Streams.
Is it called, are they calling it streams now? Well, I call it channels. Open up channels, avenues, whatever. But then you visualize all those things. And then you say to yourself, I have a good mind. I know I have a good mind. It's the mind of God operating in me now. And I want an idea. I want a marvelous idea that will bring money to me. And you'll get the idea.
Well, you say, like, to be open to every stream and avenue of money. And one day while I was working, a gentleman customer came by, dropped off the napkin and a tip. And so, like, I'm like, oh, okay. I poured him coffee, so he gives me a tip. I open up the napkin. It says, one night, $100. And I'm like, I don't want to be open to this stream of abundance, you know, because it's, like, abundance. Because someone's offering me money.
Tell them to.
All right. I'm going to tell you that. Did you take the money?
Well, I took the tip, but
yes.
Not the $100 for one night.
I would have taken the $100 and say, No, thank you.
But more money, please.
But more money, please. You see, just because somebody wants something from you, you don't have to give it to them. You don't have to give it to them. There was nothing wrong with that money. There was nothing wrong with that proposition. Nothing whatsoever wrong with it, except in your mind. Except in your mind. You see? So if you're telling me if you took the money, you'd have a sleep with him? I'd have taken the money and said, well, I can't do it right now, thank you. I have a headache. That will always work.
Maybe the money will make it go away. I'll call it.
But that is an avenue. And yes, you don't want to, perhaps those avenues to open up, but you have to know that those avenues are there. Huh. You have to know that those are there. A young lady called to tell me that she was treating for money at work, a waitress, and she wanted to make $200. I said, you could make $200, you have to say $200 or more. And she called to tell me that night she made $500. You have to know it, you have to believe it, you have to know that it's there. You have to know that money is always freely circulating in your life. Always circulating in your life. And there's always a divine surplus. Always a divine surplus. How many people here are still going to the mailbox and finding checks? I went to the mailbox this week, and a check was in there for $600 and some odd. I said, thank you very much. I didn't know it was coming. I had no idea. But I always go to the mailbox with an expectation of money. I never go to the mailbox in dread that a bill is going to be in there. Never go. If you go with that expectation, that dread, what are you going to get?
It's fulfilled.
It's absolutely fulfilled, thank you. Because of why? What goes
cause and effect.
See, this man is living. Do you see how simple it is? Why do we make it so difficult on ourselves? Because we believe what the world is telling us. We believe what our parents and our teachers told us. I have a friend, a teacher friend, who called me the other night. And why she's a teacher, I have no idea. But I say nothing. And she said, well, I had to clean my own house, and this happened. It was so hard. And I have all this junk around, and blah, 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 blah. And Dallas, everything in your house always looks so nice and neat, and you display everything, and I just can't do that. And I said, why can't you do that? She said, well, you don't understand. My mother was that way. Has nothing to do with it, people. Why are we always blaming something on somebody else? My mother made me do it. My father made me do it. I can't do that because of my genes. Not this type. The genes inside. We come up with excuses. How many people here realize that the past does not create the future? The past does not create the future. The now creates the future. The past is gone. That's why they call it the past. That's why in the Bible it says, don't dig up the dead. Let them die. Let them be buried. Get rid of your past. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Your past is merely a story that you've convinced yourself is true. It's merely a story that you've convinced yourself is true. Don't let your mind do that to you. That's the ego part of your mind. Because it always wants to have an identity. It always wants to have. I think it was the Buddha who said, one life, no problems. When you know there's only one life, there's no problem. You think there's a problem in the mind of God? I don't think so. One life, no problems. Think of that. So we have the thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and now how to use it. How do we use it? How do we use the law of cause and effect? How do we use this thing that we call God? By the way, God and cause and effect, again, are one and the same thing. But this thing that we call God, or this thing that we call love, has to work through the law of cause and effect. Love points the way. The law makes the way possible. But it's always done with the love. Love of what? Love of God, love of yourself, and your faith. You see, when I give a spiritual mind treatment, which I know has life of its own, and I know that my word is the word of God going out, can be no other thing. I have complete faith in what I say will be done. And I have complete faith that it went right into the law of cause and effect, and whatever it was for is complete, is done. But I believe in the invisible. How many people here believe in the invisible? You have to believe in the invisible. And you have to know that the invisible always becomes visible. Your thoughts are invisible, but they become visible. Always. They must take clothes and dwell among you. Yes, the good ones and what we consider the bad ones. But we have a choice there, don't we? We have a choice. We can decide how to think. So what we try to do, and I use that word try, is to align ourselves with this thing that we call God. And we get ideas that God is good, God is great, God is mighty, God can do this. You have to just keep building up your own consciousness. You see, you have to build it up when you do a mental treatment. You have to sit then and build that. Because the mind will do what right away? Destroy it. It'll immediately start to destroy it. And you must say no. And go back to the thinking, which is called correct thinking. The whole idea of learning what truth is. And here again, truth is interchanged with God. What is the truth? Does anyone know what the truth is right now? I gave it earlier. Perfect God, perfect man. Perfect God, perfect man. So you always start with that premise. And then you have to see perfection in everything. And you have to know that something that you think is not perfect, you can make perfect. You can change it to perfection. So if you see poverty and lack and limitation, you have to realize that that is an illusion. You have to look past that illusion, and that will change itself. That is the power that you have. And it's the only power that we have. And it's a wonderful power. So you have to bring that into your own life, though. And it's done with faith. It's done with believing. It's done with convincing yourself. Instead of allowing the world to constantly convince you what they're saying out there, give the world up, people. Give it up. You think it's ever going to tell you anything good? I don't think so. I don't think so. I've been around long enough now not to trust the world. But to trust this thing that we call the universe and God, and know that it always supports me, that it is always for me, that I do live in a friendly universe, that it's not a dog-eat-dog world, that people are out to get me. You see? How many people here in the morning immediately get up and say, just another day in paradise? Yes. Just another day in paradise. And then you go about proving that to yourself. And if something comes in, a different thing in life comes in, brush it off. Brush it off. Put no importance on it whatsoever. We put importance on the wrong things. And that's why we get messed up sometimes. You have to make yourself believe. And then you take that belief and you keep building on that belief. If you can start with a parking space, you can do anything. Most people think they just met God when they found a parking space and they go no further than that. Now you cannot say that this is an all-powerful mind and then settle for a parking space. You can't do that. Somebody came to me the other day and said, I have no joy. Nothing is making me joyful. I said, nothing makes you joyful. You make yourself joyful. There's always enough joy. No lack of joy. There's no lack of joy. There's no lack of love. There's no lack of anything. It's all within us. All we have to do is remember that and bring it out. You want to be joyful? Start acting joyful. Start acting joyful and it will come to you. Whatever you want to do, if you want more money in your life, then start acting like you have more money in your life. Doesn't mean you have to go out and spend money. It means you must act. You must start to feel what it would feel like to have money. Last week you talked about Grove Park Inn, which is a wonderful old hotel that was on the circuit years ago when people vacationed the whole summer, went to a hotel for the whole summer. It's in the Great Smoky Mountains in Asheville, North Carolina. I used to drive up from Atlanta just to have breakfast there, because at breakfast, all the people, men, sat around and talked about stocks and what they were making on the market. And it just reeked of money. It reeked of money. I put myself in that position so I would start reeking. But you have to get out there and you have to see that. You have to know that stuff. You see, if you want to be that, you have to get around it. You have to see it. Doesn't mean that at that time that breakfast wasn't all that expensive. It was the atmosphere. It was the feeling I was after. How many times have I said this? The life of the organism is feelings. The life of the organism is feelings. What we do is we use our surface mind and we think our life is the story that we are telling. Here again, that is secondary causation. You must go back. How do I feel about how many people were here last week when we heard the car story? And it was just a car story. She never said how she was feeling about it. It's the feeling. It's what's underneath the story that counts. You live underneath the story, people. You live underneath this surface mind. Once you know that, you become what's called a witness to your own thinking. You become a witness to your own life. And you start to see how funny it all is. And you don't take yourself and your story so seriously.
Could you clarify again for me the difference between feelings and emotions? They're related, but I get confused because emotion feels like feeling.
Well, feeling always follows thought. You have a thought, and then you get a feeling. Now, the feeling can be happiness or it can be joy. That's the feeling. But you turn it into an emotion. What would be the emotion? Joy. You would get carried away with it. And then you get emotional about it. You see? It's just one step up.
Okay. It's a matter of degree, not a...
Yes.
Okay.
Right. It's a matter of degree.
All right.
But we're always after our feeling. How am I feeling about this? When you do a treatment. Now, how do I feel after I did that treatment? What shifted in me? And if something different didn't shift in feeling, you do it over till it does. You do it over till it does. Till you get the feeling that you want. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind said, you must learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. You must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. See, we're capable of thinking what we want to think. But we don't know that, do we? We keep thinking, oh, all these thoughts that come into my head, all these thoughts come into my head. First of all, you're not your thoughts. It's just a thought, people. You're not your thought. You're not even the thinker behind the thought. How many people think that they're thinker behind the thought? You say.
Well, this is a paradox to me because...
Life is. Go ahead.
If you say it, and so it is.
Yes.
And then that's... What did we just say? And so it is.
And so it is.
But then that's thinking, saying, and therefore believing. Think maybe what... throwing me is thinking or believing. I forget now, it was elicited to me what you just said that prompted me to speak out.
Well, it's always done unto you as you believe. And at the end we say, and so it is. Because we know that we have dropped the envelope into the mailbox. So now you can't get the mail out again. It has to be delivered to the place it is sent to.
But yet you said it's just a feeling and it's not valid. It's not valid.
Oh, I said you're not your thoughts. I never said you weren't your feelings. I say the life of the organism is feelings. And then I said, how many people here think that they are the thinker behind the thought? You are not the thinker behind the thought. You are the awareness that you are the thinker behind the thought. That just knocked it up a notch, by the way, people. Remember, we were going to knock this up a little. You are not the thinker behind the thought. You are the awareness that you are the thinker behind. I saw a hand go up.
So your consciousness becomes more heightened?
Yes. Your consciousness becomes more heightened. Everything becomes more heightened. Your senses become more heightened. You're able to see, hear, feel, and smell more than you ever have before because you're seeing differently. You see, we have blinders on all the time. And we have filters on all the time. We're always looking at, you know, oh, what is that? And then we take that one, oh, my.
So you become more enlightened.
Yes.
And I become more frightened.
Ah, why?
Because every new enlightenment journey into the unknown.
Well, it's always a journey into the unknown. Life is unknown. It is a journey into the unknown. It's always going to be a journey into the unknown. That's the exciting part about it. But why do we, it's wonderful to go on a journey into the unknown. Why are we able to do that? Because we know the only thing that exists is God, and there's no harm anywhere out there. We get the idea that there's something wrong out there because when we leave, we don't say, God be with you. We say, be careful. Be careful, something will get you. There's nothing to get you.
I realized lately that my biggest fear is just like things that I think I'm afraid of is nothing compared to when we were really unenlightened, when we were like being chased by tigers and bears. But we walk around like we're still going to be chased by tigers. Like that's the feeling I have when I'm afraid, like a lion's behind me or a tiger. And I've evolved past that, so that fear is really
gone.
It has no business in you.
Conditions. Any kind of conditions, anything fear, any doubts at all, are not living entities. They have no life of their own. You are a living entity. Your mind tells you that they are living. They are not. That is why you are able to do treatment work to get rid of them. That is why you're able to tell them to go back to the nothingness from whence they came. That's the power you have. But this little mind, this ego mind says, oh no. You see, don't do that to yourself. Start, at any time you think when you go out that something's going to harm you, make your mind change that. If you have to, know that you're completely surrounded by angels all the time. Spirit guides, I don't care what it is. But do not go out in the world frightened. There is nothing to be frightened of. Now you say to me, death. People get hurt out there. Why do they get hurt out there? Because they go out there frightened to death. What is that?
Cause and effect.
Thank you.
So the very, this is where I pick this up again. So the same concept of the awareness of my thought, which in my world is usually negative, which I'm working on things to. This is where I'm a little waffled. It's not to negate that a thought is just a thought. It's the point of it is negative, because I don't want to diminish. If I go with that, then it diminishes the power of wonderful, wonderful me. That's the same exercise that in the sunlight rather than the darkness.
Yes.
Is that, and that also is awareness. I'm aware that I'm thinking wonderful, wonderful me, and it's, I think I've almost got this, but it's, that's what I was struggling with, the paradox. It's, I'm stuck on it's wrong to think that my negative thought isn't truth. It's just a thought.
It's just.
But if I say it's just a thought, fiddle-dee-dee, then that leaves me without substance to think, well, then how can I say wonderful, wonderful me? Uh-huh. That's also just a thought.
Because one is positive and one is negative. Negativity will never last. It never has, it never will, because it does not come from goodness. Everything must come from goodness. Yes, in this world, we can build something up that is not good, but it will never last. It never has, it never will. World War II ended. Hitler ended. Even though that was so built up, it will never last. Goodness always wins out. Why? Because there is only goodness covering the whole universe. There may be a little pocket of something going on over here, and we may breathe life into it for a moment. But it will not stay there. It cannot stay there. Everything must come back to goodness. Everything must come back to God. Does that help you? So when you're saying wonderful, wonderful me, and you think, oh, I can't say that because I let that negative thought go, when you're looking in the mirror saying that, wonderful, wonderful God, wonderful, wonderful me, wonderful God, wonderful me, God, me, till you have unity. Do you have unity? Does that help you? Did that help anybody?
Yeah.
All right. I have some 3x5 cards. Now, we're supposed to keep this very simple, Ernest Tobey says, but if you ever read the book, it's like, has anyone here tried to read Dianetics? It says in the beginning, the reason why we can't communicate is because people use big words, and we should keep this simple. In the next line, he uses words that I never even heard. You have to have a dictionary beside you. It would take you 7 years to get through the first page. I threw that book out. So, law works for us as we work with it. We have to work with the law. The law of cause and effect is unchangeable. You cannot fudge the universe and you cannot fudge the law of cause and effect. It just keeps rolling along, doing what it does. You see? And once you know that, you can use that. Think of it as electricity. Think of it as electricity. Electricity will do all this wonderful stuff for us, won't it? Mm-hmm. Or it can harm us, too. But it doesn't know it harmed us. Only we know that. Let us waste... I love this one. I'll start over. Law works for us as we work with it. Let us waste no further time looking for the secret of success or the key to happiness. Already the door is open, and whosoever will may enter. Mm-hmm. Simple, simple, simple. Give up the idea. I have to learn one more damn thing. Learn the law of cause and effect. Learn the law of your own mind. Believe in it. Believe in the universe. Believe in yourself and forget the rest of it.
Can you read that again?
Law works for us as we work with it. Let us waste no further time looking for the secret of success or the key to happiness. Already the door is open, and whoever will may enter. Remember my little saying from Rumi? Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? Now, the mind must conceive before the creative energy can produce. We must supply the avenue through which it can work. We supply the avenue. We build the mold. When we build the mold, the law of cause and effect, or this stuff that we call God, pours into that mold. That's why you conceive an idea, you hold that idea in mind, it has to manifest itself because you have made a mold for it. Remember, I call it Play-Doh, and I have a Play-Doh factory. And God, the stuff itself, is the Play-Doh. Well, I just crank it out. Just crank it out. Use these simple people. Bring your mind. You don't have to be lofty about all this. Think of the Play-Doh factory if it helps. But here again, use anything you want. You don't have to use my ideas. You can take them and do anything you want with them. I don't own them. And I have plenty of ideas. I'm abundant with ideas. I'll give them to you. Why do I give them away?
Is it because you come in?
Right back to me. The time will come when we will let our The time will come when we allow our conversation to be in heaven. When we allow our conversation to be in heaven. What does that mean? It means stop listening to these horrible, horrendous stories that people tell you and say, no, that is not the way it works. And we listen to all these stories all day long that people convince us, the world convinces us. You have to know that that's not right. You know, for how long have we worshiped this thing we call God? By the way, God does not need worship. Remember that? God's above that, please.
Except that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me is worship.
It is not worship.
You're worshiping yourself, are you?
It is a statement of appreciation,
okay,
of gratitude, of love. It has nothing to do with worshiping. When you start to worship something, what have you done to that object?
Are you separated?
Thank you. Now this one. The treatment is an intelligent energy in the invisible world. The treatment is an energy, an intelligent energy in the invisible world. It is a spiritual entity working through the law of mind. Working through the law of mind. You have to know that. How many people have heard the saying, thoughts are things? They're an entity. They're an entity. Now, when we say that, I'll go up here a minute. When you think of thoughts, you have to know that thought has a life of its own, that it is a living thing. That it is a living thing. Some people say it's the highest form of life you can have. Why do we think it's the highest form of life we can have? Because God is nothing but thought. God is nothing but thought. A treatment is a spiritual entity in the mental world and is equipped with power and volition. One more. The world has never left... Oh, my favorite. We'll end on this one. The world has never yet followed the simple ethics of Jesus. Yet it is loud in its proclamation that it is Christian. And it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
There's a basket for any donations up front.
Oh, and tell them.